News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. That was a great segment there with Ben Williamson. Copper, grab that mic there real quick.
Yes.
So have you ever, I mean, what's the closest you, have you been to the White House before yourself? You ever toured it or anything?
I haven't because I grew up after 9/11 where it's so much harder to get in.
That's a good point.
I lived right outside D.C. for 15 years and never got in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have grown up in New York City that never been to the Statue of Liberty. But, I remember years ago, my dad was a senior, defense contractor, but he also got tapped to take on a major role in the Pentagon. He wrangled an inside tour of the White House for Charlene and I years ago.
Nice.
And it was just very cool. And I'm sure, we're not the only ones, but I'll be honest with you. I get frustrated with policy. I get frustrated with politicians, but I love the history and the establishment, so to speak, not the establishment politicians, but the establishment of our nation, if you know what I mean. So yeah, very cool. Yeah, and by the way, folks, if you're not aware, you can do things like, it's very hard, like Copper said, it's very hard to get a tour of the White House, but you can. You usually have to ask for through your congressman. But the other thing that people don't know is that you can also get a tour of the Pentagon. Go figure. But I didn't know that till I started working there. So I was actually working at the Pentagon in 2009, and that whole place, I mean, they redid it after 9/11. It was kind of a jaded building in many ways, but because they had to rebuild, an entire wing after the plane hit it on 9/11, they had no choice but to go ahead and do some additional renovations. Plus, they did some upgrades to security, and that building got a pretty good bit of spit and polish, much needed, by the way. But what I'm saying though is they also took steps to. They started pulling things out of boxes and putting them on shelves and in display cases. And so walking the massive halls of the Pentagon is like walking through a working museum. I mean, at every single turn, you'll actually come around a corner and there's, MacArthur's pipe, his corncob pipe, sitting in a display case. Or you'll go around another corner and there's weapons that were seized on the battlefields in Iraq. And then you'll go around another corner and there's, statues and pictures of, Teddy Roosevelt. It's just amazing. So you can tour the Pentagon. You have to actually go online and request the opportunity. The funny thing about the tours of the Pentagon is they've got these junior service members, like young E3s, E4s. They are your tour guides. And they literally, so they have to herd the cats, right? So you've got a group, they have a limited number per day of people who are allowed to tour. And they bring you in, but it's a formal tour. I mean, they don't just let you go wander the halls. So they have one service member who walks in front of the group and one who walks behind the group. And the guy behind is to make sure nobody ducks off to the side. But the one that walks ahead of the group walks backwards the entire time. He walks backwards so he can talk to you and tell you what you're seeing. And it's amazing to watch. I mean, they literally train them to walk backwards, talk, and basically if you're in the Pentagon halls and you see a large group coming with a guy walking backwards, you just get out of the way because he can't see you. And he's not going to turn around. He's going to keep his eyes on the group in one direction while the guy in the back watches the group in the other direction. But they tell you all the stuff you're seeing. It was very cool. One funny story, I'll tell you this. So if you're looking at an aerial of the Pentagon, you'll see, of course, the pentagonal shape of the Pentagon itself. It's a huge building. I mean, like 24,000 people work in that building at one time. I mean, there's 24,000 people inside one building. It's got multiple layers underground that you don't see. But in the center of the Pentagon building is a large open courtyard. And it's almost like a park. I mean, it's got trees and grass and all that. And so they literally... It's a great place. Like if you're working there, it's a great place to go ahead and take lunch, go sit outside. And so the funny thing is there's a restaurant in the middle now, but that restaurant used to be a hot dog stand way back in the days. And the story goes that, Soviet satellites used to watch that and they thought, sure, that was a secret command and control because it was in the center of the Pentagon. All it was a hot dog stand. But that was the thing. I got a caller on line two about the Pentagon, so I'll grab that before we go to the break. Line two, Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, man?
Yeah, real good. Yeah, I did quite a bit of work out of the Pentagon a few years ago. And, yeah, I remember the Ground Zero Cafe, as they affectionately called it out there. But first time I was up there doing some work, and I was walking with one of my senior warrant officer guys, and I said, why is that sailor walking backwards? And he had these little crib cards in his hand. And he said, oh, he's studying for his check ride. You know, he's studying for his examination to where he can graduate to be a tour guide. And, you know, hand gestures and everything. It was so really cool. And that told me how much somebody up there cares about the quality of the tour when you do negotiate one. And I'll hang up and enjoy the show. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. Appreciate your service. Thank you very much. Thanks for your service to the nation. So yeah, he's right. In fact, I remember seeing that. They would have these guys, they're looking for their check ride, which I guess military slang for meaning basically someone checks out to make sure you can pass and get a go at that station. But yeah, they would. I saw the same thing. They would have their cards and they're walking along and you can tell they're studying and working their lines. And like when I'm on the E-ring and I'm at this corner, I say this and I point out that display case and they're still walking backwards and they're just going the whole time. It's very cool. You know, that was an entire segment there that I did not plan. That was just off the cuff talking about D.C. I think I was inspired by the fact that Ben Williamson enjoyed working inside the White House. I enjoyed working inside the Pentagon. I've had a chance to be in the Capitol. I've had a chance to be in the White House. I was going to tell you, you know, don't get so lost in the personality. Sometimes, you remember, it's the old saying, you salute the office, not the man, or you salute the rank, not the man. Well, in this case, I respect that office. I'm looking for another person to take it, but I still respect that office. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Coming back with more on last night's State of the Union, and then we'll switch gears and talk about Ukraine. That's getting thick. Hang on, we'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams. Yeah, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. I spent some time during the last break there watching updates from the Pentagon. Jennifer Griffin still reporting right now. We'll be talking about that in more detail here coming up in just a little bit. But be aware that it does appear that that while the intensity of the fighting is becoming more and more apparent, and the loss of life is somewhere in the several thousands now of civilians and military in Ukraine, apparently the Russian media just did confess that they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 498 deaths themselves that they would be willing to admit. The Ukrainians are saying it's far more than that. All that to say that 40-mile convoy that's outside of Kyiv is still stalled, which is confusing to some degree. I got some military thoughts on that. We'll cover down on that topic a little bit later. Let me do this. I'm going to go ahead and conclude some things regarding the State of the Union address, because I did number one on the Triple Dipper today. I called it State of the Union, What Are They Saying? Well, you heard Ben Williamson on earlier. He and I had some joint commentary on that. He had a great perspective of having been a communications director in the White House himself. But I made myself go out there and gather up an eclectic batch of what are they saying type articles. So I've got stuff sitting here in my hot little hands from townhall.com, from Politico, from National Review, from Wall Street Journal, from CNN, and from The Federalist. I didn't even get one from Fox this time, although I do have some great commentary from Dana Perino that, Copper, I don't think I had it on the board, but if you would go ahead and get clip two ready, please. Go ahead and get clip two good to go. So yeah, here's the first one from The Federalist. The Federalist even titles their article. Now, The Federalist is very conservative, so just understand that. But The Federalist even titled their article last night, 17 Absurd Lies That Biden Told During His State of the Union Speech. Okay, I was talking to a guy earlier, an avowed liberal, who had some problems with the speech, but his only problems were things that weren't really in the speech. And that's interesting. But when you look at the content of the speech, it does appear that there's a real gap in what was said versus what is happening. Like, number one, I won't go through the whole article, but number one, you know, there was a quote in the speech that freedom will always triumph over tyranny. I agree with that. And he opened his speech by, you know, praising, you know, the lack of COVID-19 theater in the legislative chambers and saying that freedom will always triumph over tyranny. But that's an audacious claim when you get down to it, considering the same president who's saying that had just tried to, you know, force vaccinations on American workers left and right. The military mandate is causing people to lose their careers. And even went on to smear anybody who ever dared to oppose his position on that. Another one he talked about was, he said, powerful sanctions have stopped Russia. Well, they haven't prevented anything. In fact, he himself said the other day that, you know, in one press conference where he was kind of caught off guard when I think it was a CNN reporter actually kind of pushed him on the issue of his sanctions against Russia. He said they were never designed to prevent invasion. And so last night he's saying that sanctions are stopping Russia. Well, sanctions are hurting Russia, there's no doubt. I mean, the ruble is plummeting. There's reason to believe that oligarchs are feeling the pressure now. The people are protesting in the streets in Russia. But it's just interesting when you find that even members of his own cabinet and his Vice President Kamala Harris, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, Jen Psaki, all of them have said that they meant to have a deterrent impact, and they didn't. Or how about this? He talks about the American Rescue Plan worked. He touted the American Rescue Plan, which you heard me talking about with Ben Williamson. And he said it helped working people and left no one behind, but he neglected to mention that the huge influx of cash they dropped in from the federal government to the market has literally contributed to inflation. Well, the article goes on and on from there, talking about the fact that in the Federalist opinion, the conservative view from their perspective is that there was a speech given that is filled with lies. Now, the interesting thing was, okay, the next thing I did was went to CNN. Looking at a story from CNN, this CNN story is called Hits and Misses from Joe Biden's State of the Union Speech. Okay. I thought, well, all right, they tried to go ahead and be balanced. I got hits and misses. I'll just go ahead and tell you. None of the misses dealt with content. I mean, the misses are they did not like the fact that Lauren Boebert shouted out, which I thought was inappropriate, but nonetheless, you know, she did, and that Marjorie Taylor Greene was texting the entire time. They did not like that Biden called out the work-from-home crowd and said, you know, they're going to get back to work now. Well, basically, it's because they're going back to work after 2 years of being at home. They did not like the fact that Biden got his words mixed up when he accidentally said the Iranian people instead of the Ukrainian people, which was a gaffe. I get it. But then they did not like the fact that Schumer accidentally stood up to clap once too early and had to sit back down and wait for the appropriate time to stand back up and clap. That's what they identified as misses. But they loved the fact that he invited the Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S. Okay. They loved the fact that they had two women sitting on the dais, Vice President Harris and Speaker Pelosi. They loved the fact that there were no masks on, even though the mask was just lifted off in the last 24 hours for this event. I mean, and they loved the fact that he called out funding for the police, even though CNN has been right up there with calling for the defund or at least allowing a platform for those who would call for the defund for the last year and a half. That's amazing to me. I do have a caller on line three. I'll grab that real quick before I run out of time. David from Athens. Hey, David, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
My question is simply this. We're seeing a lot of people do a lot of requests for boycotts against Russian alcohol and other items. Why aren't we seeing any push for boycotting Russian fuel?
Yeah, you know, great point, David. Great point.
I haven't heard anybody say that.
Well, now I'm hearing people saying it. I'm just not seeing anybody getting it done. The only person who can lift that executive order right now is very likely going to be the president himself, because we have some bills that have been dropped in by conservative members of Congress, but they're in the minority right now because they can't get anything done without Pelosi's and, you know, the majority party agreeing to it. So,
how do we get support to them to encourage them to push harder?
Yeah, two things.
So we can get the American public behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's two things here. One is just continue to communicate to your elected officials. You know, you can actually send an email to the White House, believe it or not. They receive emails. I'm not sure it'll matter, but it's still ought to go on the record. And then number two besides communicating, is we've got to work towards these 2022 midterms and get a group in there that can get it done. But right now we're in the minority, and we've got to go back and take the House and the Senate so that we can counteract these executive orders. That's what we got to do. Great point, David. You there?
Well, thank you for your time.
No, thank you, David. Appreciate the call. He's right. That was not, by the way, that was not in the State of the Union. Can you imagine? Let's go ahead and talk about that real quickly. David makes a great point. The State of the Union address did not address some things that are actually happening to all of us daily, like going to the gas pump and paying ever-increasing costs at the pump. Why? Because we're energy dependent now, and we're buying oil from Russia, who we're also sanctioning and decrying as an international pariah. Does that make sense to you? No. You know how you fix that? You stop funding Putin's war machine by buying his oil. You turn on our taps and thereby cut off his. You become an oil exporting country, and then you tell the folks who are buying oil from Russia, hey, we got a better market for you over here. We'll underbid him. What's he selling it to you for? How much? What you got? $95 a barrel? Shoot, we'll do it for $92. What do you think of that? And I'm telling you right now, people would get away from Putin if they could, because now they realize they're stuck with him. Speaking of which, by the way, if we don't go energy independent, there's no telling when the costs are going to stop, because right now, I believe as of this morning, the price of oil has gone to $110 per barrel. Some of you guys already know that because you bought gas today. So yeah, that's an amazing thing. I got some other takeaways. Not sure we're going to have a chance to get to all of them. Copper, I see a caller calling in, so you highlight that when you're ready for me to grab him. Here's one of them. I will say this. On a more level approach, the Wall Street Journal did have what I would consider to be a fairly level approach to the State of the Union. They had what their article was titled, Biden's State of the Union Key Takeaways. All right, so they've given a pretty broad perspective on this. They include polling to back up some of their statements, and I appreciated that. Copper, if I'm going to grab him before the break, I got to get it. So let's do that. All right, let me get line four. Dennis from Hartsville. Hey, Dennis, how you doing, man? Dennis, are you there?
Enjoy the show.
Hey, thanks, Dennis. Appreciate you. Yes, sir, I can now. Yeah, how you doing?
I made the point that on the network news last night, which the wife and I never watch, but was watching coverage of the war, the Russian government is making a point to eliminate people and TV stations, newspapers, outlets, outlets would be the good word, I guess, to eliminate misinformation. Very ironic that Peppermint Patty stood behind the White House podium, 6 weeks ago and said they were working with social media to eliminate outlets spreading misinformation.
Oh, wow.
The point is, the Russian government's doing, we're doing the same thing the Russian government's doing.
It's not a bad point, Dennis. Yeah, and in fact, one of the articles that I've got here in my hands talks about the fact that while he was talking about having freedom over tyranny, at the same time, his administration was working with big tech to shut down opposition to his vaccine mandates. And but that being said, too, you're right. In fact, even the Russians targeted a TV station's antenna yesterday, trying to take it out, despite the fact that it was in a highly populated civilian sector. Because they're trying to shut things down. One of the ways around that, too, I don't know if you saw it, Dennis, but Elon Musk has given access to his satellite internet system so that people don't have to rely upon ground-based systems. That's pretty interesting.
Fantastic. Well, like I just thought it was just, you know, how parallel our government today is to the Russian government and eliminating what they call misinformation, which is nothing more than people who just do not see the things that they see or view their views the way they do.
Well, stay in the fight, because at the very least, we have far more of an open line of communication to our government as opposed to the folks in Russia that don't. All right, Copper, take us to a break before we run out of time. We got to get moving. Dennis, thanks for the call. All right, folks, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You guys keep calling in. I'm enjoying this, 866-494-9866. A little more on the State of the Union when we get back, and then we'll switch to Ukraine, because the news there is updating by the minute. All right, Phil Williams. Coming right back. Hang in. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Copper, are you still good with that clip 2, that audio clip that I've got, clip 2? Highlight that if you're ready on the board. Yeah, good. Okay, so here's the deal, folks. I've got so much content on the State of the Union, to include, by the way, I had a lot of fun. Got a little exhausting. Not really, but last night on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams. And I got into this thing where I started doing a blow-by-blow of the State of the Union with GIFs. So little video clips that I just basically just, every time something would happen and it would like, you know, make my head spin or something would happen and it looked like, you know, ridiculousness or whatever. I had a GIF to go along with it. So I had like probably 30 in a row in a thread. You can find that on Twitter. But the Wall Street Journal, I said, had a very comprehensive article, fairly fact-based, seemed to be more even-keeled. National Review, on the other hand, which is a conservative publication, their headline was Biden fails to reboot his presidency. There's that one. Politico came out, and their takeaway was when Biden said, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. That's not what you need to hear when you have stagflation and lack of wage growth and we're energy dependent and a big chunk of the war is at world is at war, and you've got, you know, any number of things happen. The southern border is a crisis. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. That was Politico's takeaway. And then townhall.com, they choose to comment on the liberal media. Their headline was titled, The Liberal Media Reaction Over Biden's State of the Union Was Forced, Predictable, and Overall Sad. So rather than get into all that content, because I'm going to switch gears here in a few minutes, I do want to do this. I thought one of the best analyses that I saw last night was Dana Perino, who, kind of like our guest we had earlier, Ben Williamson, Dana Perino gave a perspective that comes from having been in a White House helping with communications, not just helping. She was the chief spokesperson in the White House at one point. I'm sure she's been there for preparations for State of the Union address. And she gave an analysis last night that when I heard it, I thought that's sharp and to the point. She's on it. She's right. So let's do this. Copper, clip two. Go ahead and play it.
But I have to say, I thought the speech was uninspired. I agree that it sounded like he did not actually change anything. It's almost as if they had the speech, it fell on the floor, all the pages got shuffled around, and they just put it back together, and they didn't actually reorder it. There were no transitions. There was no rhetorical lift. The strongest part of the speech was definitely the beginning and the very end. That's usually good, because that's what people mostly remember. But I have to say, he goes from Ukraine straight into something that has already been given three Pinocchios by the Washington Post, which is a lie about the 2017 tax cuts, that it only went to help 1% of Americans. Again, that's not me saying that. That's the Washington Post with the three Pinocchios. I also think that he didn't say the words Build Back Better, but everything about Build Back Better was in here. You didn't hear a lot about energy independence. States of the Union addresses are supposed to be about your accomplishments, but many of their accomplishments, or what they consider accomplishments, are actually now vulnerabilities. One, I would say the American Rescue Plan, that Americans have cracked the code. They know that more spending has led to inflation. Energy policies, we see what's happened in Europe when you get too dependent on foreign sources of energy and don't produce your own, even while you're trying to transition to greener energy. I also think I have to give negative points for the mention in the same sentence of the killings of the police officers, Rivera and Mora, with this line, that they will he wants to hold law enforcement accountable. That's not what happened there. And there was nothing about prosecutions and making sure that career criminals are held in prison and not let out to commit other crimes. So I tried to be generous. I actually really did. And I went into the speech thinking that maybe we'll figure out a way to find some unity. But I truly don't think that you will see anything here. I don't think there's going to be any big legislative push out of this speech. And in the meantime, Ukrainians are fighting for their lives. And we talked a lot about how we can send some things, but he also didn't end on a high note on that point, and I wish that he would have.
There you go. I mean, I went ahead and wanted the whole clip to be played because there was not a part of it that I disagreed with. Dana Perino, and she's very fair. She'll give you, if she likes something, even if it's not her party, she'll tell you. But she said across the board, she could not, in her experience, and she's got the experience for it, She could not find the high side of the speech. I guess for about 30 seconds, Copper, I don't have time for Bob's call. Tell him I apologize, but there's no way I can get him in there. We're going to break already. Folks, we do have a hard break at the top and bottom of the hour. I can't get around it. I can sometimes push the others, but I can't push that one. So, Bob, thanks for calling in. If you want to hold on to the break, I'll grab you first thing. Otherwise, it's going to be a few minutes. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Going to come back next and switch gears here. Number two on the Triple Dipper, Ukraine. What now? What next? We'll talk about that when we get back. Hang tight.